Discorder, that free magazine from CITR, has been documenting the best in music, arts, and culture since 1983. Let's see what one man of prestige has to say about Discorder.
What up, though? This is Big Snoop Dogg, and I fucks with Discorder magazine. How about that?
Smoke you every day.
Pick up a copy around Vancouver or fuck with Discorder online at discorder.ca.
Good morning. You're here with Off the Beaten Path here on 101.9 CITR, Vancouver's community radio station. I'm your host, Issa Arian. We are broadcasting from the unceded Musqueam and Coast Salish territory here from UBC's campus. Deep in the fog today, you know, while we're deep in the woods this morning, or if you don't live in Vancouver, what you haven't noticed is that there has been a very deep, eerie fog that's been here one day, and it looks to be here for the next day as well. You know, we like to get in here and get started a little bit on the weather. But first, if you're new to listening to Off the Beaten Path, what I like to do here is we like to talk a little bit about some pop culture. We like to talk about some local Vancouver news, some British Columbian news, some Canada news. We talk about some news, some global news, usually talking about news from the south of the border in the United States. And sometimes we have some funny people on here, some really interesting people, some artists. We've had a few directors. Sometimes we just have some really smart people, including my friends, who like to call in. If you'd like to call in, the number is 604-822-CITR. That's 604-822-2487. I always have a hard time saying 622, even though it stands for UBC. I never knew it. But if it helps you out, helps you remember how to call in, it's 604-UBC-CITR. So as we get into the weather for the next week, surprisingly, so, you know, last week I come on, talk about how the weather is unpredictable, how the weather the weather doesn't actually mention shit. What happens is I read the weather from the weatherman, and I guess I mention what the weather is going to be for the next week. However, we talked about how it wasn't supposed to rain, but you actually never know here because, you know, Vancouver rains all of the time, and it didn't rain for the last week, and so this week it's not supposed to rain. So I'm going to have like I'm not one of those people who, you know, who forever lacks faith in the weather. If they continue to get it right, then I'll continue to believe in. Like, I believe in the Farmer's Almanac, even though it's a book. Surprisingly accurate. So for the next week, from today until next Thursday, it'll be cloudy with a high of 10, but no rain. So, you know, feel free to do whatever it is that you do throughout the week's PSA. This is my last show before the holidays. So actually, not technically, I'll have a best of 2017 show that will be airing the Thursday before Christmas. I'm not sure exactly which day that is, but you have to find a new way, at least until the new year, to start your Thursday mornings. But I appreciate you here, being here with me right now. And I feel like now that we can get into the news. Actually, we can get into what that sample was. Well, Crew is by DC's own Gold Link. And I like to think about, like, what does my future look like? What does my future of music look like for me? So, and I like to think that hopefully all of the songs that I love will be covered by some type of horn, preferably a saxophone, some type of wind instrument. And when I heard that sample of Crew, which you can find on my Twitter, from Imani Lauren, I like to think, like, that's literally exactly what my future will be like. It'll be a lot of saxophone and renditions of some trap music. So let's get into the news here in British Columbia. So on Tuesday, yesterday in this Vancouver Sun, you can read about it. There was an attack on a Muslim young woman on Tuesday on the SkyTrain. Now, if you're not listening from Vancouver, like, what the SkyTrain is basically like a metro, like a high, like a rapid transit, you know, that you might have in any other city. And there was a man who, like, was originally, first verbally abusing this Muslim woman, and then he struck her. And the story in the Vancouver Sun describes it as, like, how, describes it from her voice, and how really, like, this verbal attack went on for several minutes. Like, and Tuesday during rush hour on the train, there's lots of people on the train, and no one did anything except for another individual. He stepped up and pushed the man to the ground and waited until the train stopped and escorted him off the train and then entered back on the train. So, as to protect her. And so, like, while the story is great, like, I was reading the Vancouver Sun and reading it just about, like, how great the story is that this young man, it's 21. I don't have his name, but if you go on the Vancouver Sun, you can find it. You know, he was able to drum up the courage. They talked about how, you know, the paper was more focused on, like, his courage, while himself and his coach just said, no, this is just what the types of things that you should do. And I agree, this is definitely the types of things you should do and the types of things that people should do more often. But what really saddened me, not only was the idea that this is an attack on a young Muslim woman in Vancouver, like a city where we like to believe that we are, like, far past, you know, we're just, like, we're far past and more evolved than we like to think. Like, we believe here that those issues happen elsewhere. And when I say we, I mean, like, the greater Vancouver populace. I feel like these things happen everywhere, and they pop up all the time. But really what saddened me is that how people just continue to sit down and go about their day. And I'm sure there's lots of people on that train who say, in those situations, that if they saw something like that, they would step up and do something about it. But in those moments, what we see is that there's far too many people who continue to sit down and really don't do shit, and they just wait for the next time that something like that happens. Like, when they read the Vancouver Sun, they'll talk about how they didn't see it, or they talk about what they would do, when really, no, we need more people to just step up. What we really need to do is have people stop being so bigoted. I don't understand the purpose of people hating or berating anyone, stranger, about anything on a, like, in public transit. But if you feel that strongly of hate, maybe you should, like, car to go, or take a cab. You know, I mean, I guess you can't take cabs if that's what you're into, if you're into hating people like that. Moving on to the next story. This season, what we learned is that, like, there's so little that goes on in particularly in, like, that I think is interesting in the Canadian news. But one of the ones that we like to talk about here is homelessness, and we'd like to talk about housing. And so what they're doing is they're raising and there's raising a property tax. However, the property tax is very just trying to be very specific to target like people who hide their money in the tax shelters here in their homes. And likely, you know, an economist, well, my favorite economist here in Vancouver, Tom Davidoff, he's my old professor, talks about how these taxes are likely to do little in the idea of like curbing the already like increasing rents that we have here and like just the housing problem. What they are likely to do is stop the they're likely to stop the rise in prices of houses being sold, just like the 1% tax did earlier. However, if you're looking for relief from your high rent, you're going to need to stress that these people come up with better solutions. When we get back, we're going to be talking a little bit about how First Nations people here are trying to control and take part of the marijuana industry. When we get back, stay tuned.
When it's settled in, conversation is saying that I want you, saying that I want you. When the lights are dimmed and night goes into my imagination about you, I've been told.
Back with Off the Beam Path here on 101.9 CITR Vancouver's community radio station. I'm your host, Issa Aaron. And if you'd like to call in, the number is 604-822-CITR. That's 604-822-2487. From the story from the young man who came to the defense of the Muslim woman, I don't want to say the victim's name. You can go on VancouverSun.com and read the story for yourself, or you can check it on the Facebook page on Facebook.com/OTBP20XX. But the young man's name is Jake Taylor. So I feel like, Jake, I don't have anything to like give you, but just a congratulations for being a regular, decent, normal human being. And I like to say, I say that because I don't feel like that we have enough regular, decent, normal human beings that we see on a normal basis. Like what we see, you know, mostly, especially during times like these, are people who go above and beyond and out of their way to make people's lives very, very difficult. And when we get later in the show, we'll be talking a little bit about how the United States government is continuing to make people's lives difficult, even during the holidays. So, however, getting back. So I clicked on this story, and I was very interested because I honestly didn't know what was going to follow. I like my news to come with a little bit of surprise. Like, I really enjoy when the headlines try to exaggerate something that maybe, you know, would be pretty interesting. Nonetheless, still interesting. So First Nations communities want to be able to regulate marijuana and cannabis sales on their land, which makes sense. And but it's very complicated because here in British Columbia, the land, like, you know, if you listen to the radio show from the beginning, we talk about the unceded land of the Musqueam and Coast Salish people. And if you go around to different parts of BC, when you talk about the land acknowledgments and whose land it is, you're talking about like the different First Nations tribes here and the different people. But it's important to understand like what unceded means. So like unceded is the fact that there was no treaty signed to basically divide like whose land it is. And so what that means is that it's really the First Nations people's land. And so what they want to do is they want to be able to regulate the cannabis sales on the land, which really goes against what it doesn't go against, but it throws like a monkey wrench in the federal government's plans to go legal on July 1st, 2018. And this is where I'm conflicted, because I understand that, you know, that they want to regulate, they want to be able to regulate cannabis sales on the, and like the laws and the punishments and just everything that goes on their land. And they're requesting that the bill be pushed back, you know, to give them proper time and money to talk about the initiatives and the things that are going to happen, when that time comes. So they want to push the bill back. Listen, and I'm all for self-determination and being able to decide. But selfishly, I have plans for that day, you know, for that day. Like, not just I have plans. Like, I have, you know, people who want to come visit me during that day. Like, it's going to be a historic moment, particularly if you're from the States. It's like, it's not a very hard flight, but it will be a very fun day. Like, Canada Day here, I say, is more fun than July 4th. And Canada Day, which legalizes marijuana, like, I'm not, I think it's interesting, right? Because it'll be a lot of fun. However, marijuana is pretty legal already, so it's not really like anything changes. But I still don't want them to push it back, because I've selfishly am invested. And not only am I, so are my friends. So, but it is interesting to think about, like, what the possibilities look like if First Nations, rightfully so, should be able to control the substance. This is an idea that I have had, I have long had about marijuana industry, particularly because it's almost like new money. Even though the money is not new, like, people have been buying and selling marijuana for decades illicitly. Anywhere that you can get. Anywhere where people want something, they're gonna get it, right? So the idea that, but this is like an opportunity to make like new legal money. I've always thought that this was a better way for people who are like impoverished to be able to, you know, have access to like to new, not free money, but you have to work for it, but new money. Like if they wanted to close the wealth gap, like they understand that this marijuana industry is going to be worth hundreds of billions of dollars. And now we know we live in this capitalist society where people will never, ever, ever take their foot off people's throats. But just imagine if you were poor or less well off, if you were given the opportunity to get into the business first so that you could try to pull your way out of poverty, not just pull your way out, but like really just work your way out of it by learning and being involved in this industry that's brand new, instead of giving it the opportunity to only rich people so that rich people can get even richer, you give it to people who really need it. And I've always thought that would be a much better idea. But then I remember, you know, I don't really live in the society that, you know, that I'd like to live in. I live in the one that really exists. And so in that society, we keep our throats, we keep our necks on the throats of poor people and disadvantaged people. So like while First Nations groups, you know, really want to be able to control the substances and be able to really govern their own lands and by the rules which they want, and we do these land acknowledgments, and they do land acknowledgments even in Parliament, and they make these apologies. You know, we talked about Justin Trudeau last week, you know, crying in his apology to First Nations people, and we talked about we've talked about all of the things that they've tried to do to reconcile pretty much in like the past few years. However, when it comes to actually showing up and like respecting the wishes and talking about you know, how they can move forward in a better future, like oftentimes the First Nations people are left out of the conversation. And so that's why sometimes those apologies ring very, very hollow. But it'll be interesting. So you know that I'll keep you to stay tuned, because the only thing we talk about here in Canada News is homelessness, marijuana, housing. And sometimes we talk about animals. So this is a story I was very interested to click on. So there was this story, just think about the headline popped up. Boom. Barreled owl makes kill in downtown Vancouver. Now, if you know me and you like listening to the show and you listen to the show often, you know that about at least once a month, maybe, if I'm lucky, twice a month. It's like my favorite times when I'm hearing about animals getting at people, because I just love the idea of animals fighting back. Like we see these beautiful, majestic creatures, and you're just like, you know what? I know you can't take it all the time. Sometimes you got to fight back. And so I like to see that animals still have that fight in them. So I read that story and I was like, damn, I didn't know owls kill people. You know, attack people. I'm like, it kind of makes me scared, because, well, I'm not like scared of birds. I feel that I have no defenses to birds. Like, I don't know if you've ever sat in a park, you know, and you've watched maybe somebody listening to the show is this person. However, if you're one of these people, feel free to call in, you know, and just tell me what this does for you. But like, if you're one of those, you sit in the park and you're watching somebody who's feeding pigeons or seagulls, you know, and like seagulls are flying all over your head and you're not feeding them, so you don't want those things around. And it's not that you don't want them around. You just, it's like, one, I don't want to get pooped on. Two, like, what if that seagull comes, or that pigeon, or like, I've seen an eagle like pretty close. Those things are huge. And like, what if one of those things swoops down, pecks you, flies off? I got no defenses for that. Like, I got buzzed by a crow one time because he lived outside of my house, and this was probably the most ornery crow I've ever seen in my entire life. Anytime I walked past, he would buzz me. And I'm pretty sure that he pecked me a few times, but I was too frazzled. I couldn't think about it. So much to the point that I had to cross the street every time I left my house. Now I know that, like, listen, that crow owned that street, and for me, I just had to charge it to the game because, like, you know, I feel like I can't get on the radio and talk about how much I love, you know, animals attack people. And then when I get attacked by an animal, I just think, like, man, wish somebody would do something about these animals, like lock them up or something. Maybe put them in, you know, animal jail. A zoo, maybe. But, so yeah, so when I saw the story about the animal, about the owl, I was pretty hyped until I found out that it had just killed a pigeon and was eating the pigeon in broad daylight. Now, I wanted to read a little bit more about these spotted owls because I'd never heard of a barreled owl. Never seen one, but they are also pretty big and pretty scary. And I'm pretty terrified of any animal that eats an animal from the same relative species. So, like, if a human eats other humans, safe to say, I'm pretty scared of them. Even if it was, like, one of my friends or, like, somebody I was cool with, like, just the idea that maybe, one day they might eat me scares the shit out of me. But so when I see the owl and I'm like, man, I didn't know owls ate other birds. That's scary. Like, imagine being another bird. You just think, like, you know, the owl just looks a little different than you. You know, it's, yeah, you could be one and the same. And the owl's like, nah, man, you look like lunch. When we get back, we are going to go into how America is getting worse and worse. And how I'm kind of happy to be gone. I mean, I feel like there's a common theme. But you guys understand.
God. Oh. Everybody dance. What, you don't like to dance? Everybody dance.
Oh, everybody. God, this is awful.
Isn't there anything?
Listening to the radio these days can be distressing. Fortunately, here at CITR, our programmers choose the music that they play, so our charts reflect what people actually listen to. To find out what's really topping the charts, pick up a copy of Discorder magazine or check us out online at citr.ca. Unless, of course, you'd rather keep listening to the chart-topping single, Everybody Dance.
What, you don't like to dance? Everybody dance. Everybody dance. Everybody dance, dance. What, you don't like to dance? Everybody.
Conservation is the first and best resource option for BC. Do your part. Turn off the lights when you leave a room and unplug your cell phone charger when charging is complete. Visit bchydro.com to find out more ways you can make a difference. This message brought to you by BC Hydro Power Smart and CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver.
That's the last one. It'll burn slow. Casually, gradually, defining gravity as I let go. No wires, I'm flying. Magic rack, pull a hat out of rabbit rack. Never thought I could have it all. Didn't begin, I never really had it right. I'm moving through this movie like my life's duty is to live unruly. You should have never introduced me to the beauty in the darker side of heaven's view. Gucci fit her booty very well. Hopefully she never kiss and tell. Hopefully we never see the sun. Don't try keeping up, I'm on a run. Trying
to keep it humble in a world full of egos. Gangsters and evil. Making my own rules, and I'm pulling up in something foreign. Yeah, I'm pulling up in something foreign.
I put this out for you, my new is cool. Grip the horse, I take you round the loop. Close your eyes, your heart available. Land on earth and cruise through Malibu. Gave you time to give you draws the boot. Rubbing skins, I found the heavens true. Melt the sun and keep the moon alive. Dry the winds and moist behind the fire. Can't pretend the greatest in the lie. Stroke you calm and go beyond the fate. Take you down the frown, go up your face. Arch your back and bend it back and play. Fuck you good, I fuck you good, I know. Stamp your book to know where else to go. Foreign place, a foreign whip to drive. Failed at life, then fell at you, now I'm
trying to keep it humble in a world full of egos, gangsters and evil. Player in the game, but I'm making my own rules. And I'm pulling up in something for it. Yeah, I'm pulling up in something for it.
You're back with Off the Beaten Path here on 101.9 CITR, Vancouver's community radio station. I'm your host, Issa Aaron. And if you'd like to call in, the number is 604-822-2487. That's 604-822-CITR. Now, we've had people talk about, I didn't know that there was this many people who hated birds as much as I did. Some listeners talk about their bird stories. Like I got maybe my distaste for birds came from when I got pooped on at Disney World. Like, you know, Disney World, it was my first day in Disney World. We hadn't even gotten to the park yet. It's me, my cousins, my grandmother. We just walk into the park. It's our first day, you know. It's about to be the best day of my life. And not only did I get pooped on, I got pooped on like right on the back of my shoulder. So who knows how long the poop was there before somebody realized that I got pooped on. So I just walk around Disney World, poop on me. Nobody said anything probably like an hour until my cousins started making fun of me. But jokes on them, because while they laughed, other funny things happened that I probably should keep to myself and in my family during that trip. That being said, so I don't know if you are aware of what is going on. What is going on in some of these senatorial races and really what's going on in the United States Senate in general. Now, here in Canada, people watch United States politics for entertainment, really, because while I believe that Canadian, like, House of Commons is very interesting, and if you have ever get the chance, if you're not Canadian, and if you ever get the chance to watch some of it and watch how they interact, it's so crazy. It's like so different than the United States. It's first, they speak English and French, and they just stand up and yell at each other. It's great. However, while it is like entertaining to watch, the United States is more entertaining because it's almost like watching high speed, you know, train accidents every day, every day. We're like, man, what's going to happen today? Like, you know, what are they going to talk about today? Is it Russia? Maybe. I don't know. Is Trump high? I don't know. Yesterday, a story came out that he was slurring his words during his speech. That I'm like, while I feel very full of Trump news, I'm always drawn to it. One, he's the president. Like, I feel like even if he wasn't the president, Donald Trump, like, he is still like a draw, which is what makes him so scary. But this is about Al Franken, the senator from Minnesota, and Roy Moore, the senator who is running for election in Alabama. And so it's really a tale of two sides, and talking about like the morality of either and what should happen to either. And really the only defining difference is, no, I mean, there's lots of defining differences, but like the one that's stark is that one's a Democrat and one is a Republican. And not just how, like not just what's going to happen to them or what's going to happen, or but just the arguments and discussions around, like, what do we do next? So if you aren't familiar, Roy Moore is running in the Senate for the Republican Party, and he has a history. Like, he's also, Roy Moore is not a teenager. So, like, when we're talking the story, it's important to understand that Roy Moore is, like, a 70-year-old man. Like, I don't know exactly how old he is, but he's old as shit. And he's, like, a 70-year-old man. And so, like, so and so, the women who are coming up forward with their stories are, like, also very, very grown women as well, with really nothing to gain. There's really nothing. They're not coming forward and, like, asking for money. They're just talking about their stories. But Roy Moore has a history of dating, like, high school girls. And not only, like, dating high school girls, but writing them notes, leaving, writing notes in the yearbooks. Like, as a grown man. Like, not as a teenager. So, like, writing notes in the yearbooks and sending them letters, sending them Christmas cards and all types of stuff. Like, not even, it's beyond what anyone would normally say is, like, a reasonable, it's gross, and it's pedophilia. It's sick. Anyways, he's running for, he's running in the United States Senate race currently. And then you have Al Franken, who, like, is a sitting United States Senator in his second term, who resigned yesterday. Because several women have come forward with allegations of, like, sexual misconduct between them and Al Franken. And Al Franken has apologized for his transgressions, but apology doesn't negate the fact that, you know, he did that shit, and so he has to go. But what's interesting is that the way that the different parties and the people in different parties are handling these situations because of what is at stake. So, you know, in the United States, each state has two senators. And so it's very important, particularly for the Republican Party, that they, since they have the presidency and basically until 2018, because everyone has, well, when I say everyone, I mean, like, I feel, well, I hope, you know, people have smartened up and been able to get, you know, come to a better understanding of, you know, just what is largely at stake. So that people show up. But basically until 2018, until the Democratic Party hopefully takes over the Senate. The Republican Party has the Senate. They have the president, the executive branch, and the judicial branch. So they're really trying to just push all their legislation through. So it's very important for them to have, you know, the senators to do that. And so in this race, particularly for Alabama, we have seen the GOP come out and support Roy Moore and really choose party over country. And I don't want to put the Democrats on this moral high ground. However, it's this very distinct decision to choose country over party. Like, Al Franken is a very well liked senator, but lots have called for his resignation, and so they finally got it. And I feel like you know, these are the types of tough decisions, these are the types of decisions that are very tough. So, you know, these are the types of things that we talk about. I talk about with my friends a lot of times now, you know, albeit like a all male group chat, we really try to have these open discussions about some of these decisions and some of the things that are going on in the country. And while we think about particularly, like, you know, like, what is going on and what is at stake, it's really hard to live live in this reality where we understand these things, these truths to be truths. That's what they are, you know, these things to be wrong. And while simultaneously living in a reality that we understand, like, that evil people will do nothing to stop being evil. Like, they'll never, you can never appeal to their sensibilities because they'll just won't stop being evil. So, like, that's what we're seeing, like, in this Alabama senatorial race. So we think, we just think that there's no limits that they will go low, and then they go lower. Like, electing a pedophile like Donald Trump, the president of the United States, choosing to endorse a known pedophile. Like, I don't think that we don't have to say alleged anymore. Like, this dude was writing letters to people's daughters as a grown man. Like, Alabama, I feel like I've never been there. I feel like it's one of those states that, you know, you think they have some type of code. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know what type of people in Alabama. Like, if you're listening from Alabama, please call in and tell me, like, what you think, what is the feelings there about this type of thing? I mean, but I guess we'll find out soon because, you know, there's going to be an election. So, I mean, we will actually see, you know, what people are feeling. But they're willing to, like, elect the predators just so that they can push through their, like, tax plans and, you know, some of the other bills that they have. While really not understanding, like, what type of message does that send? Is that these things are more important than, like, having some type of standard, and or not even a standard, because I feel like we have lost the standards are lost. Like, we have decided that those things don't matter, but at least we had a perceived bar. Like, you know what will bar you from being a United States Senator, from being one of the most 100 most respected people in a country? Pedophilia. But, you know, suddenly that's not one of those automatic outs. But then thinking about the Democratic Party, and so, like, Al Franken, what are the type of decisions that you have to make around these? And I feel like that calling for his resignation and him resigning is the right thing to do, because we can't live in, like, the reality that these evil people have created, even though I find myself, like, a pretty pessimistic person and think that, you know, that is the reality. And so we do have to start making these decisions where it comes to, giving up these power. However, I trust that somebody, another Democratic senator will be elected, or, you know, a senator with similar ideals who hasn't abused women. And I feel that, opening these spots up for people, you know, who are continuing to do the right things and who live right and who represent us in the ways that we want to be represented should be given opportunity. And that means that even people who you like, even they got to go sometimes. When we get back, we're going to be talking a little bit about how some people are looking forward to the holidays and how we should try to do a little bit more to help them and their families out. Stay tuned.
Oh God, I might just say fuck it and give you what you need right now. Like, oh God, cut straight through like knife. Oh God, that's me in the coupe with the roof in the seat. Like, wow, oh God, heard that's what you like. Can I be honest? Can I be honest? Feel like I need more sips in this silence. Feel like this the only time that I caught it when I don't want it. Can I be honest? Right tongue, left ear. Nothing said unclear. No telling how I feel, cause no telling how I felt. I need more wealth. Drown out with love.
just say fuck it and give you what you need right now, like on God. Cut straight through like knife. On God. Can you make a promise to me with no teeth, just tongue, like on God? Right now you my spies. And when I'm not making Fetty, 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 I make good time to your Eddie and make good love, call me daddy. Pay you while I'm tall, but keep you on call. Can I be honest?
Right on, left ill, nothing said unclear. No telling how I feel, cause no telling how I felt. I need more wealth. Drown out what's left.
You're back at Off the Beaten Path here on 101.9 CITR, Vancouver's community radio station. The number to call in is 604-822-CITR. That's 604-822-2487. And what we're talking about before is some of these the difficult decisions that, you know, must be made because they're necessary. And we really want to be building the, like, building the future we want to see and not really living in this reality that that people who we can agree are evil have created. So another thing. So one of the things that they really want to get through is this is tax reform. And so while eliminating when you look at the tax reform and you talk to like people who are very knowledgeable about like what's going on, and you read just how it was tried to pass, the bill was given to some senators last week so it could pass through the Senate hours, like a 500-page bill, hours before the before they had to vote on it. And some of the things that we saw in there were like eliminating estate tax. Now, an estate tax is basically a tax when like a really, really rich person dies. Their wealth is taxed before it can be given to, I would say, like a family member or, you know, or anybody. And I mean, rich people obviously don't want to have that. But what it does is it, you know, we like to think we live in this society where, you know, where we all start from the beginning and everything is equal. But we know that that's not true. And so what the estate tax does is it doesn't actually make anything equal. It's not like they tax them back to zero and everybody starts at zero. It's just like a small tax. And they want to eliminate it. But at the same time, they want to eliminate the estate tax. They want to eliminate itemized deductions for teachers who use like their own money to buy supplies for their classrooms. Now, one, you would think like, man, why do teachers have to buy their own supplies for the classrooms? Well, that's like the American education system. Also, they want to tax scholarships like their income. So, you know, we sit here and we talk about, beautifully eloquent argument. You know, I mean, not argument, but just explanation on this from one of my friends who's studying his PhD in chemistry at University of Delaware, and just talking about how talking about how his scholarship, which is basically, like a tuition waiver for him to study chemistry, is going to be taxed. So instead of living like a poor graduate, you know, PhD student, you know, he'll be living like a poor graduate PhD student who's getting paid, you know, like $100,000, and he'll have to pay taxes on that, which is absolutely ridiculous. And one of the things that we haven't talked about, like here on the show, we talk about athletes and particularly how I believe that athletes should get paid. And a lot of the athletes, particularly a lot of the athletes that we care about, the ones we like to see in college, the ones that we like to watch on TV, you know, a lot of come from situations where, listen, they're not going to be able to afford the tax. So, like, if you can't afford the tax, listen, somebody's going to pay for it. And so think about that. If you can't afford to pay the tax on your scholarship and the school wants you there anyways, listen, that your tax is going to get paid for. And that, if that potentially puts – it's going to put schools and people in danger of violating, you know, these arcane rules, you know, that the NCAA has. And so what does that do for college athletics? What else also, like, what does that say about, like, our society, you know, to tax scholarships and teachers more than we do, you know, rich people who want to pass on, you know, these inheritances? And it's very interesting because the way that people talk about the way that I was listening to NPR this morning, like, the way that rich people talk about these tax deductions are as if deductions leave as if taxes leave them broke. That's what always gets me when talking about rich people and taxes. It's not the idea, like you'll be all right, you know. And I feel like that's not what they understand. Like, there's people who go to work every day and teach your kids who are eating the same meal every single day because they would much rather put the money, that little extra money that they have, into their classrooms to better the lives of their students and make the sacrifices personally than to live like a regular, working class individual and have their students not get the best help that, not the best help, but just the best education that they can give. They want to do their jobs good, and they're being punished for it, while people who have a lot try to squeeze just every penny that they can. And just like we talked about, just like I talked about earlier, listen, we live in a capitalist society. People would never, ever take their foot off of people's necks. When we get back, we're going to be talking about some funny news. Like, there are people mad that Ryan Reynolds is going to play Pikachu in the next movie, and I'm one of them. But for now, just listen to this, like, holiday goodness.
You know, Dasher and Dancer, Prancer and Vixen, Comet and Cupid and Donder and Blitzen. But do you recall, what's that? The most famous reindeer of all. Come on! Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer had a baby shiny.
Back with Off the Main Path here on 101.9 CITR, Vancouver's radio station. Sorry, caller, for not getting you on the air. However, people are upset. The people have spoken. They are upset because Ryan Reynolds is set to play Pikachu in a live-action Pokemon film Now, this accompanies a story that happened, I would say, like a few weeks ago that I read about. It was basically there's this movie that came out. I'm not like really hip to like what's going on in the Pokemon world, but like I used to be. Like I used to have the red and the green the red and the blue version, and had the yellow one. If anybody has a Game Boy Color, bring it up to the studio because I would love to play it. You know, I feel like everybody got caught up in Pokemon Live. But anyways, but a movie came out last week or a few weeks ago where Pikachu started speaking English in the movie, and all I saw was videos of people booing, like, boo, boo, because people don't like when you change up their things, particularly when they've been one way for 20 years. But I think this is just something that people are going to have to get used to if you like Pokemon still. But, you know, you're going to have to get used to Pikachu speaking and Ryan Reynolds playing Pikachu, which I also feel is, like, couldn't they have just got, like, anybody? Like, do they really need Ryan Reynolds to do that? Like, what type of budget is the Pokemon movie having in 2018? Very interesting. Another story. So, there was, like, all the crazy stuff happens in Florida. Like, I don't know if you've ever been to Florida. Florida is literally where everything that happens in Florida is wild. So there was a police press conference that was talking about a homicide police conference where a few people were murdered, you know, sadly murdered. And there's a woman standing next to the police conference, standing next to the police commissioner, who's giving this speech, and she is doing the sign language. And so while a lot of the times those things go unnoticed by, you know, us people who do not have to rely on sign language to really understand, you know, to know what's going on. However, one of the victims was deaf, and so her parents one of the victims' parents is deaf. And so when watching the police conference, she's relying on on the translator, you know, to really know what was going on. And the translator was a fake. Like, the translator was a fraud. She was throwing up all types of hand signs. I saw a story where they tried to, like, say what she was actually saying, but this woman is next level fraud. And so what I actually found out is that it's not illegal what she did, but who hired someone who can't do sign language to do sign language? Like, that's crazy. It's crazy how that not only was she that committed to the fraud that she showed up and did the hand signals and was doing, just throwing up anything and thought nobody was going to notice. Like, the whole idea was like, probably she was probably like, you know, everybody in here can hear. No one's gonna find out about this. And then just wondered, like, man, how many other times has this woman been scamming people, knowing that she doesn't know sign language, but willing to stand up there anyways? So I just thought that was amazing. Like, I thought it was pretty sad that, you know, that the victim's family, you know, didn't get the proper information necessary that they needed or that they wanted at the time so that they could, you know, grieve, you know, properly. This is something extra that they had to worry about, and that is sad. And I can still be amazed, you know, just how committed to the fraud that this lady is. And sometimes I'm like very, very surprised, and like surprised at how far people are willing to go. Now, 1 minute, we'll just talk about how Lindsey Vonn says that she hopes to represent the people of the United States in the Winter Olympics, not the president. Let's be curious if Donald Trump says anything about that. Talking a little bit about how football is just a dangerous sport. And if you'd like to go on my Twitter, you can look at my old teammate Mike Mitchell talk about how football is a violent sport, and he welcomes the violence, and I believe him. Thank you for tuning in to me today. We do this every Thursday, 7 to 8, here on CITR, on CITR.ca. You can find all the old episodes on CITR.ca/off-the-beaten-path. Hope you guys have a great holiday. Be back in the new year, bringing you straight news with a little bit of jokes. And I appreciate you for listening to me all 2017. Have a great weekend and have a great holiday.
Strength. Dignity.